Being willing to wait for something and persistent in prayer is a sign of maturity. When Zechariah was told that a child was coming, he couldn't believe it. Now, he knew it'd take a miracle, but he couldn't believe it because the natural forces of life were against him. See, he limited God. He limited God. He doubted. There are times when we doubt, even though we hear. Because he was well along in years, God couldn't possibly do it. We tend to doubt God too when it requires a miracle. Many times I've been in my office and I've heard these very words. Father, I'm tired. I've prayed about my marriage, but it's a wreck. And then the question comes, do I have your permission to get a divorce? If you're ever tempted to ask me that, here's the question, here's the answer. Just know this is the answer I'm going to give you. I'm going to share with you what God's plan is on marriage. I'm going to share with you about the covenant that you've entered into. And I'm going to share with you about how God will provide a miracle if you but hold on a little longer. Unless there's physical abuse, I'm going to share with you what God's answer is. That nothing is impossible with God. In other words, I can't believe that he'll actually do that for me is not an answer. Now, I've had people say, I don't care. I'm getting a divorce. If it means I go to hell. And I go, well, then I'm going to pray for you. Because I'm not going to sell you the ticket. I can't tell you the number of couples that have left this church for one reason or another and now are divorced. It's sad. One couple I counseled with who understands covenant. For 10 years they've been separated. They're not divorced. They're just separated. One of them's living with another person. They're not married. I mean, one of them calls me. We're still not married. We're still not divorced. I go, yeah. When are you coming in for counseling? Well, we live up here now. God intended marriage as a covenant that he's in. And he will not divide himself. So yes, he'll do that. Have faith. Rick Warren suggests that that we pray for the circumstances God has promised us until one of three things happens. One, you get an answer and you begin to praise him. Two, you get an assurance that you're going to get an answer, and you begin to thank him. God will encourage you as he encouraged Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. In other words, your answer is on the way. God hears your prayer, hears our prayers, and when we pray, but he answers them in his own time. Don't stop. Begin to pray him. Begin to praise him. Thank you, God, you've answered me. I look forward to the day of its fulfillment. Or three, you keep praying until God says to you, it is not my will. And then when you know the answer is no, and you get a peace, you begin to trust him. So you either thank, you praise him, you thank him, or you trust him. Until then, you pray. You must be willing to let God answer it in his own way. In his own, the first one, was in his own time. The second one was in his own way. God tells us that his ways are not our ways. His ways are bigger and better than our ways. Zacharias and Elizabeth wanted children. So then when they were not going to have it their way, they prayed and God intervened. They wanted what everybody else wanted and what most were getting. God wanted to give them something special, a unique son. And they waited. Our problem is that all we want is what everybody else is getting. And sometimes we are content to settle for less. It's much better to have what God wants us to have. Our problem is all that we want is to settle for less than God has. In Ephesians 2:20, the word says that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to his power that is work within us. Guys, let us start trusting God. Let us tell him the problem. Let him give the answer. Number three, we must be willing to let God answer in his own power. Have you ever tried to help God answer your prayer because of the delay? The biggest example of that in the Bible is Abraham and Sarah. And they created a son named Ishmael. The biggest problem in the Middle East today is the descendants of Ishmael. And I'm sure none of you have ever created an Ishmael in your life, but I certainly have. Our solutions are always the wrong solution. We've got to learn to wait for God's solutions, even if it requires a miracle. Why does God wait so long? Normally, because if he answered hurriedly, we would not give him the credit. We have to absorb all our intellectual capacity before we're ready to surrender. God, it's got to be you or it won't happen. When he answers our prayers in a way that can only be explained by his acting on our behalf, everyone, believers and non-believers alike, know that he answered prayer, except for physicians. And then they say, oh, it was just a spontaneous reversal. We misdiagnosed. We see this clearly in the example of raising Lazarus from the dead. If your prayer has not been answered, don't give up too soon and try to solve it yourself. Instead, we've got to trust God and wait on him. Heard a story of a little old lady living in a small town. She was in her 80s. And every morning she would come outside on her front porch and raise her hand and shout to God, "Praise the Lord!" Well, one day an atheist moved next door to her, and about 2 years after hearing this lady every day come outside going, "Praise the Lord," he had enough of it. So he started coming out of the porch and yelling, "There is no Lord!" And time passed, and the two of them carried on each day, "Praise the Lord, there is no Lord!" So one day she stepped out and said, "Praise the Lord. Lord, I have no food and I am starving. Please provide me, O Lord." So the next morning, she came outside and there were boxes of groceries on her porch. She shouted, "Praise the Lord. He has provided me with groceries." At which time the atheist stepped out and said, "No, he didn't. I did. I brought those groceries." To which she said, "Praise the Lord. He provided with me groceries and he made the devil bring them." God will provide in his own way. Four, God, you got to be willing to let God answer for his own purpose. It is not unusual for Christians to hear a challenge to a word and to take up the step of faith and to trust and then to experience life difficulties. During these times, we get discouraged. Our very obedience is questioned. Why? Because God has a higher purpose. God was looking for parents whom he could trust with John the Baptist. Another example of great trust is Job. In Job 1, 21 and 22, we read, Job, upon losing everything, he fell to the ground and worshiped God. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all of this, Job did not sin by charging God with any wrongdoing. In 2, 9 through 10, his wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Just curse God and die. And he replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? See, we have a choice when things are not going our way. We can choose faith, or we can turn from God. I've seen many people go through times of trouble and curse God. I've seen people lose their job and curse God. I've seen people lose their family members and curse God. It's said of Turner, the broadcaster from Atlanta, Ted Turner, that he was raised in a Christian home and brags that he was saved 7 or 8 times as a child. In 80, receiving award in Atlanta, he told the story. But when his sister was ill and he prayed and she died, he disowned God. And he's been a pain in the church's side ever since. See, he blamed God. And he has denied God ever since. Someone said, sometimes a roadblock is not a dead end, but a detour to a new road of life. We've got to understand that when we serve the living God, roadblocks are not a stop, but maybe it's a redirection that God is sending us down a new road. And as an individual, I ask you this morning, do you want to be used for God's purposes? Or are you willing to let God have his way with your life circumstances? As a church, we have to ask ourselves, are we being willing to be used for God's purposes? Or do we want our prayers answered in our own way? Or do we want something bigger and better that God has planned? Zacharias and Elizabeth waited a long time and suffered disgrace and discouragement. But when their prayers was answered, it was their son who would be who would point the world to our Savior. Do we want to be used to point the world to Jesus? We're challenged to be a point to build the church. We are challenged as of last week, and Kevin's already said it very eloquently today. Are you ready to take Christ to your neighbors? Are you willing and ready to fast and pray that Christ would become the most significant part of your life? Are you willing to trust God with your tithe? Are you looking for ways to look after the orphans, help the widows, feed the hungry, care for the sick, visit prisoners, clothe the naked, give drink to the thirsty, in short, to feed his sheep? Are you ready to invite friends and strangers alike to come to church? Are you willing, as God directs, to give to the building fund? These are things that we're being called to. Saturday night, Father Looker spoke. What was the title of your sermon Saturday night?
Sermon
of
Confusion.
No. There was, you talked about life. Rule of life. That's it. Saturday night to the youth of Jacksonville that were here to our church. Father Looker talked about a rule of life. These are really rules of life for all of our church. I'm inviting us all to seriously look at our own rule of life, to look at how we pray, when we pray. God is speaking to me of taking a day a week just to fast and seek God on what else I'm to do. It's not a significant play. It's just something. We've asked all of you to take the next 3 weeks, because then we're going to come back in a serious conversation about what the future of this church is. You've all got the cards. If you don't, we need to get some more to you. But I ask you, what is God saying to you? Please stand. Father, even now as we bow in prayer before you, and we wonder how you will answer our prayers, we ask you to first examine our hearts and find us fitted to even begin to pray. Lord, if there's anything in our life that blocks us from you hearing us, if our heart's not right, if there's aught against anyone, Lord, speak to us that we might cleanse that even now. Then, Father, I pray that you would cleanse the spiritual wax from our ears, that we might hear you. As I challenge someone this week, teach us, Lord, the fast of silence, that we might sit before you and hear your voice and not be caught up in all the sounds and things of life, but that we might take a time each day just to sit in silence and listen to your still small voice and what you would have to say for us. As we pray, we acknowledge that you, Lord, are our life. You, Lord, should direct us. And we sovereignly give ourselves over to you. You are in charge. We desire to be used by you individually and corporately as a church. Help us to grow in our faith and to mature in our relationship with you and with one another. And bring your glory into us, we pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.